Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. Their names are Paula, Gemma, Donna, Catherine, and Claire. They are the McCartney sisters, and they are causing more trouble for the credibility of the IRA than any recent parade of orangemen. It was their brother Robert who was killed, supposedly, by IRA thugs 6 weeks ago, and it's their determination to bring the killers to justice and the IRA's clumsy response to the community outrage which continues to discredit the Irish Republican Army. Today, we'll look at the story of the McCartney challenge to the IRA and just why it is that the militant wing is so vulnerable. What's going on here? Does this latest killing reveal the organization for what it is, a group of terrorists that has refused to abandon violence despite political promises to do so? Does the IRA have to disband in order to gain some genuine political credibility for the Republican side? And what difference does it make? And the White House and the Kennedy clan refuse to meet with leaders of Sinn Féin, the IRA's political wing. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We have a number of people lined up to join us this hour. We're going to start, though, with the latest news, because Gerry Adam, political leader of Sinn Féin, is in New York City today. He was speaking to a breakfast hosted by the Council on Foreign Relations. Nancy Soderberg, who is with the International Crisis Group and someone who had a lot to do with negotiating a peace treaty with the IRA, was one of the people at that breakfast. She's joining us on the line. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning.
So tell me, was Gerry Adams looking a little bit like a man with his tail between his legs at the breakfast?
Actually, not really. I mean, I think he's taking the long view of history here. The way he describes it is a football team where you don't always have possession of the ball. They've lost possession of the ball right now, but he's convinced that they'll get it back and be able to drive the process there. He was actually surprisingly upbeat that the wars over the IRA at some point will be a thing of the past, and it's time to get the peace process back on track and try and move things forward.
Though, is he in any position to say, you know, when the IRA is no longer going to be the army that it is? I mean, that's the question that people are asking. Why is there still an IRA? Why don't they disband? They've got the political heft. They're getting people to vote for them. Can he answer that question, Nancy?
Yeah, he got that question exactly this morning. And, you know, I think the larger picture here of what's going on is the leaders on all sides, both on the nationalist tradition and the unionist tradition, are so steeped in the history of the conflict that they're unable to break out of that and move into the 21st century. They're stuck in the zero-sum game mentality of the violent history where all sides feel victims. And I think it's incumbent on them to move forward and put the past behind them. Now, I think the McCartney sisters are creating a bit of a revolution in that side. They're saying, no, wait a minute, this is not okay. We've done business like this for decades, if not centuries, in the Irish context. This goes back a long way. And they're trying to shift it out of to wake up. And I think the people of Northern Ireland are far, far beyond their leaders. And I think there's, you know, a lot of blame to go around on all sides. And what needs to now happen is put the IRA behind them. There is no justification for the IRA, and move things forward. And it's not just the IRA. There are other paramilitary organizations operating in Northern Ireland as well, and they need to be criminalized and departed from the scene and treated as such. Gerry Adams played an instrumental role in ending the violence. To that, he deserves great credit, but I think the leaders in Northern Ireland need to begin to take a much harder line against the IRA.
Nancy, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Nancy Soderberg is with the International Crisis Group, was with the Clinton administration negotiating peace with the IRA, author of a new book called Superpower Myth. Now, Nancy's talked about the revolution caused by the McCartney sisters, and we have two journalists with us for the balance of the hour to help us understand just exactly what that revolution is. Kevin Cullen is a reporter for the Boston Globe, former Dublin bureau chief, London bureau chief, also for the Globe, has been covering this story for, well, 20 years or maybe a little bit longer, Kevin.
Born with it.
Thank you so much for coming in. It's nice to have you here.
Thanks.
And Charlie Sennett, London bureau chief, current London bureau chief for the Boston Globe, is covering this story right now, as is Kevin. And Charlie's joining us on the line from London. Hi, Charlie.
Greetings.
Did you, in your recent travels, have a chance to meet with the McCartney sisters? I mean, can you give us just a little, for people who haven't been following this story, why it is the killing of one man and the actions of five sisters are causing so much attention on the IRA?
Well, I mean, I think the IRA just this time around picked the wrong set of sisters to mess with. These five women are very impressive. They're professionals, they're moms, they're people who grew up in a Republican enclave called the Short Strand, so they suffered through the Troubles. They have come from a family that's very sympathetic to the IRA, that's a real strong nationalist family. And their brother was, you know, a very beloved father of two kids who had managed, like many people, most people in Belfast, to navigate his life in a way to both support the Republican cause but stay out of trouble. And so he is this kind of, you know, Republican everyman who ends up in a bar, and some IRA thugs mix it up with him, and they brutally kill him, and then they recruit other people in the bar, some of whom are members of the Sinn Féin political party and some who were other members of the IRA, to help them cover it up. And these sisters, the McCartney sisters, are very rightly asking, you know, is this what the IRA has become? I mean, you know, there's a saying on the streets of Belfast that the IRA is always called the RA, and now they're called the Rafia. And there's this sense that they have descended into a group of kind of, you know, organized crime thugs and no longer represent that kind of mythologized vision of the Republicans fighting against the British, but have become neighborhood thugs, toughs, bullies. And these sisters are saying, we're going to bring an end to it. And they are an impressive group, I must say.
So, Charlie, when you're talking to the Catholics in Northern Ireland about how they're reacting to this whole thing and the sort of courage of the McCartney sisters in standing up to the IRA, the anger that people have there, tell me, are people ticked off with the IRA because they killed Robert McCartney, or are they ticked off with the IRA because they did such an appalling job of trying to cover the whole thing up?
Well, I think for a little bit of backdrop to this, I mean, the thing that really happened here was in December, the peace process came very close to having a serious breakthrough. That got held up for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons that contributed to that was a very large bank robbery. This was the Northern Bank heist that the British police forces say the IRA is responsible for, and Sinn Féin had some kind of complicit involvement in. And that scandal set the tone for a crisis in the talks. But on the streets of Belfast, Catholics and nationalists, Republicans, didn't care about the bank heist. To them, that was a joke. That was something they laughed about. That was like a Robin Hood event, you know? No one really took that seriously, but it set a political tone to this thing where Sinn Féin felt under siege. What really does mean something on the streets of Belfast is this death of Robert McCartney, this murder of Robert McCartney. And the reason I think it means something is because it comes in a community that wants law and order. It wants to move on. I think Nancy very rightly pointed out that the people of Northern Ireland on both sides of this conflict have moved beyond the politicians. They want to see a community that can just do what it wants to do, that can go forward with its lives. And to do that, they need police. They need law and order. And that is the context in which this killing occurred, is that the McCartneys have called out for the new police service of Northern Ireland to be the body that will bring justice for their brother's murder. And that is really about a sea change in public opinion in Northern Ireland for people like the McCartney family to put their faith in what was the old Royal Ulster Constabulary, very mistrusted,
yeah,
seen as an arm of the Protestant community, to now put their faith in this newly revamped, modernized police service of Northern Ireland. I think Kevin can point out the history on this. This is a real sea change in Northern Ireland.
Let me do that just briefly with Kevin, if I can, because that context of 20 years of covering this, Kevin, that you have, people are saying, my God, is the IRA really done at this point? Is that a reasonable question to ask?
Oh, I think it is a reason. And the bottom line is the end game of the peace process was going to be the IRA putting itself out of business. And both Charlie and Nancy, I think, have hit the head. It's the people are ahead of them. What has happened since 1994, the original ceasefire by the IRA, is that the IRA basically stopped doing everything that it really had credibility with the community we're talking about here. That was protecting them from loyalists, protecting them from the British Army, protecting them from the RUC. Well, where loyalists are still attacking Catholics at random in parts of Belfast, all those threats have sort of receded. It's not nearly as life-threatening as it was to people 20, 30 years ago. So what you've seen is in the last 10 years, the IRA, the people that you would say are on active service, they are what some IRA veterans derisively refer to as ceasefire soldiers. They are people that did not earn their bones, did not earn their respect with the community they purport to represent. And so part of what the McCartney sisters are saying, and more importantly, their neighbors are agreeing with, is that you don't represent us anymore. You are not our defenders. And that is a sea change, that is revolutionary, and it's something that Sinn Féin politically has got to get ahead of.
Charlie, I know you have to go. Quick last question for you. Are the McCartney sisters sort of standing up publicly and doing this, or are they at putting themselves at some risk by taking such a public stand against the IRA?
I think they are putting themselves at some risk, which is what makes their story that much more remarkable. You know, one of... This group of women were basically standing in their kitchen. Now, they have 20 kids among them, and including they all have full-time jobs. And they're all kind of making sandwiches for all the kids and at the same time feeding a few reporters who are hanging out and offering coffee to the police service of Northern Ireland police who are in their kitchen.
All right, the sort of credibility that you can't argue with. Charlie, we have to take a short break, so I want to thank you for being with us. Nice to talk to you again. Charlie Sennett, London Bureau Chief for the Boston Globe. When we come back after the short break, a chance for you to join us at 1-800-423-8255. What kind of change are we watching? I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection this hour, a conversation about what's happening with the IRA. Is there, in fact, a growing split between Sinn Féin, their political arm, and the militants, the whatever is left over from the times of the Troubles? 1-800-423-8255 is the number to call us. It's coincidental, perhaps not coincidental, but Gerry Adams is in the U.S. on what's meant to be a sort of St. Patrick's Week fundraising trip. Not going that well for him, as events with the Kennedy clan at the White House are being canceled. Kevin Cullen is here with me. He has covered this story for 20 years. He was London Bureau Chief for the Boston Globe based in Dublin. He's now a reporter based here in Boston. I need just a couple of simple, basic bits of background here, Kevin, if we can get those off the table. For the past more than 10 years now, there's been talk of the IRA disbanding, the IRA giving up its weapons. They haven't done that. Why not?
Well, they haven't given everything up because it's their last bargaining chip. They haven't put themselves, they haven't come out. The one thing they haven't said explicitly is that our war is over. And in some respects, the McCartney sisters have said that for them. But that's really kind of, that's been the drag on the peace process. When the ceasefire first came in 94, it was an incredible historic gesture by the IRA. They felt they didn't get enough credit for it. But immediately people saying, okay, now give us your weapons. And their response is historically the various incarnations of the IRA have called, you know, ceasefires, but they've never given up their weapons, which was true. But this is a difference. These guys were armed to the teeth. Now, they have made some symbolic gestures of giving up their weapons. In fact, the peace process that the gesture that Charlie mentioned earlier was it was just about to make the deal happen and restore the local government, which was the IRA. There were going to be two clergymen, one Protestant, one Catholic, witnessed this massive destruction of weapons. And at the last minute, Ian Paisley, the leader of the largest unionist party, said, no, we want photographs, which was perceived as being a humiliation. But, I mean, this is the interesting thing. They really have made gestures along over the last 10 years that would suggest they are standing down as a paramilitary movement. But then again, something like the McCartney case, and it isn't just the McCartney case. There was a killing of a boy in Derry, a young kid in Derry, by an IRA man. That is the same situation over there. You could go to any place in Northern Ireland, and anybody would be able to come up with a story with IRA men overstepping their bounds and acting thuggish. And so it's not just the McCartney case, which I think is why it has such resonance.
1-800-423-8255 is the number to call. And we're going to Medford. John's on the line. Hi, John.
Hi, Dick. Good to hear your voice there, and happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody.
Same to you.
It really is about the green, you know, especially those 50 million from the Northern Bank. And I just came back from Ireland 10 days ago there, and it's a huge story there, so I'm glad you're covering it here, because this is very untypical of coverage around St. Patrick's Day around here. I've been here a long time, so I know what gets covered.
Is it a good news story or a bad news story in your mind, John?
It's a reality story. And I would like, I don't have too much background on the circumstances of the killing of Mr. McCartney, but I'm sure he was somehow, you know, involved in something around the, you know, the criminal activity of the IRA of today. I would suspect, I'm not sure of that, but perhaps a journalist like Mr. Sennett, who was on earlier, might have more information on that. But it's a huge story. Like, it's a huge change for Ireland, because Fianna Fáil, the main political party, has been in somewhat in league by history, and Kevin Cullen could explain that there.
There's a part of this, John, that I want to take a little bit one step further with Kevin, and that was an offer by the IRA given to the McCartney sisters: will take out the people who killed your brother. It seemed to me that for those people who are watching this and kind of sitting on the fence, it turned a lot of people really strongly against the IRA. Like, you guys are not understanding why people are ticked off with you.
Well, the funny thing is, I wasn't appalled by the statement, because that's what the IRA does. What was most significant to me was that the IRA was actually giving the family the option of having these people done. That, as far as I know, I called some friends, you know, former IRA men, particularly who live in that area, in the Markets and also in the Short Strand. And I said, have you ever heard of a case in which the provost said, you know, families go to them all the time over the history of the Troubles. People have said, hey, so-and-so is, you know, peeing on the doorstep, or so-and-so stole my car. Mm-hmm. And the provost sorted out. But never, ever could anybody recall a situation in which the family, the party, the aggrieved party, was given the option of you know, would it be a shooting? Would it be a punishment beating? Would it be expulsion? That's never happened before, and I think that shows, that to me is the significance of that statement. Not that they were going to shoot him, because that's what they do, but the fact they are so far on the back foot that they would actually, but the other thing, showing the divorce from the mainstream, they actually put that statement out thinking they would get kudos for it. Mm-hmm. They thought that this showed the restraint. This showed, hey, we're trying to do the right thing here. And everybody else was saying, what are you guys? What are you out of your minds?
Let's bring Jerry Moriarty in. He is Northern editor for the Irish Times, joining us on the line from Belfast in Northern Ireland. And Jerry and Kevin, you two know each other,
yes,
from working together, right?
Absolutely. Hey, Jerry.
Hi, Kevin. How are you, man?
I'm great.
Good.
Jerry,
hi, Dick.
Thanks for being with us, Jerry. I'm interested in how people are watching this unfold day to day. Are people looking at the way the IRA is criticized by the McCartney sisters and by that community as the beginning of the end for the IRA?
I'm not sure if it's the beginning of the end. Certainly for the past few weeks, it's been page one news each day and in the inside pages as well. And it's a story that just won't go away. I was just on to the McCartney family there a few minutes ago, and they're just packing their bags. They're taking media hits every 5 minutes. They are under, I mean, that their minders are very, very reluctant, even though that, you know, they try to put people off from talking to them. They're under so much pressure at the moment. In terms of the IRA, it has put an awful lot of pressure on the Republican movement, on Sinn Féin and the IRA. There's a huge debate opening up on what is to happen next. As Kevin was saying, that part of the whole peace process strategy was to create a system where you would have constitutional politics as sort of followed by Sinn Féin and the IRA then fading into the background. That just hasn't happened. There have been several occasions over the past 3 or 4 years when there were promises and half commitments that the IRA, you know, would go away. You had Tony Blair talking about the IRA and, you know, the Republican movement having arrived at this fork in the road. But it just hasn't been resolved, and all sorts of political pressures and people using strong arm muscling and trying to get things moving haven't succeeded. But just right now, there's a certain sense that Sinn Féin and the IRA have never been under as much pressure, more for the murder of Robert McCartney than the Northern mm-hmm. Bank robbery, although that's also an issue. So, you don't want to call it too hard, but I think the Sinn Féin and the IRA have to deliver big time to get out of this corner. And as you say yourselves, if they deliver, a day late and a dollar short, it isn't going to work this time.
Are the sisters on their way to Washington to meet with the White House? I know they were invited for St. Paddy's Day.
Yeah, I'd say they're packing their bags in Belfast. They're driving down to Dublin tonight. That's just a couple of hours' drive. And they're getting an early flight, I think, to London and then on to Washington.
So and what kind of a difference will that make for them to take advantage of that stage? Kevin, to have the sisters there instead of Gerry Adams. I mean, at one level, it's a great big slap in the face for both the IRA and Sinn Féin, but you're saying that there may be some good news in all this for Sinn Féin.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I think there, depending on people's politics, there's a suggestion that Gerry Adams, Martin McGuinness are, you know, hand in glove with the IRA. But the other side of this is that, you know, they know, Adams and McGuinness and the rest of the Sinn Féin leadership know that they cannot really maximize their political potential, particularly in the south of Ireland, in the Republic, until and unless the IRA go away. And so, you know, when you see people like Peter King, the representative from New York, a longtime Sinn Féin friend and sympathizer, when you see Ted Kennedy saying they will not meet with Adams, you know, I know it's being portrayed as a slap to Adams, but it actually could serve Adams' purpose.
What do you think, Jared? The American involvement in this story, how key is that in the way it's going to play out in Ireland?
It's crucial on a couple of fronts. First of all, in terms of just the financing of Sinn Féin. But secondly, in terms of giving Sinn Féin credibility. And, I mean, the whole initial visit of Joe Cahill and Gerry Adams to the U.S. and getting their visas, you know, before and after the initial ceasefire and the risk that, say, that Clinton and others have taken. Very, very important. I mean, it's like, as you know, America is still the main player, and Gerry Adams and Martin McGuinness are absolutely keenly aware of that. And even, like, when I heard first that sort of Ted Kennedy had said that he wasn't going to meet Gerry Adams, I mean, like, I knew they were under pressure, but I wasn't quite sure that he would actually go that far. And I think that sent a very, very clear message. And as Kevin says, in a paradoxical way, it could serve a useful message, because I do genuinely believe that Adams and McGuinness want to see this thing resolved, but maybe the fact that this message is now getting home so clearly that people like Ted Kennedy and others are saying, are slamming the door, is sort of saying a message that has been read back here in Belfast and in Ireland. And I think there have to be people of wit, and common sense in the IRA who must be getting that message.
We had contacted Senator Kennedy's office to see if there's anything that he wanted to contribute to the program, and they're sticking with a statement that comes from his office, which basically points to the IRA and its ongoing criminal activity and contempt for the law as the reason why Kennedy's not meeting with Sinn Féin leader Gerry Adams on this trip to the U.S. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. If you'd like to join us, where are we going next? Georgetown, Massachusetts. And Jim is on the line. Hello, Jim.
Hi. I guess the thoughts that I'm struck with as I listen to this program is, hooray for Senator Kennedy for calling the IRA on the criminal activity. My experience as a kid, a recent graduate of college, I came in contact with a young man who essentially had to flee Ireland because he was pressured in his community to consort with the IRA. He didn't want to, and his mother urged him to flee because he had fear for his safety. He thought he would be whacked. And now we look at an IRA that is facing irrelevancy. And what are they doing? They're turning away from any sort of civilized way of conducting themselves, where they're offering to terminate people. They're a paramilitary organization that is losing relevancy, and so they're turning to criminality. It's bank heists. It's whacking people on both sides of the conflict. So I see an organization that their own people are turning away from.
Kevin, you were talking with a former IRA person who was making just this same point.
Anthony McIntyre. Yeah, and he wrote a piece, a very good piece in the LA Times the other day. The caller raises this question. What is the relevancy of these guys today? As Anthony would point out, I think his line was, he said, it used to be an army, it's now a militia, and it's very close to becoming a gang. And that is not the Republican self-image was always one of self-sacrifice, not self-aggrandizement. I mean, there was a mother of one of the hunger strikers, the 10 guys who died seeking political status in 1981. I remember she said this to me, and I'll never forget it. She said, criminals don't starve themselves to death. And I was talking to Anthony the other day on the phone, and I said, do you think, are there people out there now that are in the IRA who would starve themselves to death to make a political point? He said, if they are, I don't know them.
And Jerry, people in Northern Ireland then, are they, like the McCartney sisters, feeling like they can close their doors to the IRA? Are they? I'm not trying to sort of cast this as everybody has been waiting for the opportunity to do this, but it's required a lot of courage for anybody to say anything critical about the IRA for as long as I can remember.
Well, especially if you're living in your heartland communities, it takes great courage and nerve. And there are still a lot of people who don't have that courage or nerve because, for instance, there were 70 people were in or about the scene of the murder of Robert McCartney, and still nobody has come forward with evidence that could convict any of the killers, even though there are scores of people out there with evidence.
Now, I saw something this morning that a Sinn Féin political candidate who was there made a statement to her lawyer or to the police. I mean, is that the way it's going to start to unravel?
Well, no, she was stood for the local legislature, the local assembly here.
Yeah.
She wasn't elected. Her name is Cora Grugan. She was there in or around the time of the killing, but she said she saw nothing. I mean, she was in the bar. I spoke to the McCartneys and I spoke to some, you know, security sources. 12 people have been arrested in connection with the killing. Nobody has been charged, including, you know, among those who are arrested are the people who have wielded the knife and the person who allegedly gave the order for the murder to take place. Now, some of those have gone to the police accompanied by their solicitors. They've gone voluntarily on the advice of Sinn Féin and of the IRA, in fact, of the orders of the IRA, to quote from their last statement. But there is certainly among the McCartneys, they suspect that this is a bit of a charade, a bit of a pretense, because I was told that nobody's given any proper evidence when they go. Certainly they'll go in with their solicitor and meet the police and meet the detectives investigating the killing, but they'll just stare at the walls and they won't tell them any useful information, even though those people have to have useful information. So, and even when you have a person like a Sinn Féin, relatively senior politician, saying, well, I was there but I saw nothing, I mean, it just sends the wrong message. It sends a message to a lot of people outside the Republican heartlands, because, you know, the Sinn Féin core support will always remain. But beyond that, people who would, you know, would be wavering between, say, supporting the moderate Nationalist Party, the SDLP, or voting Sinn Féin, they might be halted in their tracks and say, well, we'll stick with the SDLP rather than sort of a transfer over to Sinn Féin. There's a huge credibility issue here.
Charlie Sennett made the point earlier in the program, Jerry, that the McCartney sisters have this kind of appeal to people when they speak in their criticism of the IRA. Do you see people who are simply reacting to the death of their brother, or do you think that they too have some kind of political agenda here?
I think their basic agenda is really that they want to get justice for their brother, and that really is the central motivation. But in the past day or so, we're facing a British general election in May, and they're saying now that if they don't get this justice, they may stand in, say, West Belfast, where Gerry Adams is the local MP, and they could stand in some of the other constituencies, and that will be to make a central point that sort of, you know, this sort of thuggish law, this sort of totalitarian sort of attitude to law can't be allowed to prevail. Now, I think if they got justice for, if somebody was convicted, they may fade from the scene. But certainly they are, you know, as each week unfolds, they are becoming much more politicized. And as some of your speakers already said, these are very, very sharp, bright women. They know what they're about. And, you know, who knows, there could be a future role beyond this campaign in the weeks and months, in the months ahead. They are very articulate. They are very, very impressive.
1-800-423-8255. The story of the murder of Robert McCartney and the reaction of his five sisters in the Short Strand area of Belfast has caused more trouble for the credibility of the IRA than pretty well anything that's happened in the past 10 years. So where is it leading, that curious relationship between Sinn Féin and the IRA? Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. We'd like to have you join us. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. We'll be right back. Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection. Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255. With me on the program this hour, two reporters who know the story of Northern Ireland and the Troubles and the IRA and Sinn Féin inside out. Kevin Cullen was posted in Dublin and London for the Boston Globe. He's been on this story for 20 years. Jerry Moriarty is Northern Editor of the Irish Times and worked alongside Kevin in the time that he was over there. Once again, 1-800-423-TALK for you to join us. Let's go to Nashville, Tennessee. Greg's on the line. Hi, Greg.
Hello, how you doing? Thank you for taking my call, Dick.
Yeah.
I'd like to say that this is terrible to watch, this tragedy, the murder and cover-up of Mr. McCartney. I think that doesn't necessarily lessen the rights of nationalists and Republicans to be at the negotiating table in the future. All these things are happening within a political vacuum that, unless it's brought back to bear, I fear may continue.
Who represents the nationalists and the Republicans in your mind, Greg? Is it still partly the IRA, or is it Sinn Féin? Is it the politicians?
Sinn Féin is the largest nationalist party in the North,
yeah.
And they're growing rapidly every day. This is a setback, certainly, to the political end, and it's more importantly a human tragedy. But it's not as if the North doesn't know murder and cover-up. I mean, that's been going on at the hands of the British government for years and years and years.
So what would happen, Greg, if Gerry Adams chose one of his moments at an American stage, to say, right, that's it, we're breaking with whatever is left of the IRA on the street. They no longer share any of the values that we hold dear as politicians. You think they could get away with that?
If they can get away with it, to what audience? I think that if it becomes politically advantageous to them to move the process forward to the end of a free and unoccupied Ireland, I think that would be one of the tools in its tool belt. Although I'm not sure that it's at that point yet. I just know that none of these actions, as horrible as they are, lessen the rights of nationalists and Republicans in the North to be at the table, which is no longer open, and to move the peace process forward.
What do you think, Kevin?
Well, I think that's true, and I also think the Irish government in particular has bent over backwards to make it clear that this process has to be about inclusion. And I think the Bush administration did something that there is a perception, and it's partially right, that the Clinton people were far more invested in the peace process than the Bush people. But, the Bush administration could have listened to its right-wing compatriots in England and parts of Ireland and just said, we're not letting Sinn Féin into the gig this year at St. Patrick's Day. They very pointedly excluded all of the Northern parties. So I think there's also a suggestion to Mr. Paisley and the Democratic Unionists that you guys aren't getting the deal done either. So there really is a concerted attempt and effort to keep everybody in the political process. And so Gerry Adams doesn't get to go to a party on Thursday, but neither do any of the other party leaders. So I think that's a very significant gesture by the Bush administration.
Gerry, does the IRA itself have to say something more dramatic than they've said? Do they have to make a statement about giving up on this war?
I sometimes wonder. We've had so many statements from the IRA recently. It is an organization that you might have one statement a year at most, or maybe two at Easter and the New Year. A lot of their statements have been ham-fisted, so there'll be maybe a bit of doubt about whether they might screw up again. But they have to do something very, very dramatic. And, your speakers were talking about Sinn Féin and the IRA, but the other parties who lost the invitations to the White House as well. You have the Unionist parties and you have the SDLP, and they're central to the equation as well. And Gerry Adams is correct in one way. No matter what happens, we're going to have to come back to the table. We'll have to try and address getting a deal done again at some stage. But the big issue at the moment is trust and credibility, and Unionists certainly do not trust Sinn Féin in any form. And if there is to be a deal, as I said, they will have to deliver big time. But where everything is not lost, I mean, even a politician as fundamentalist as Ian Paisley, the leader of the DUP, he still says he is prepared to share power with Sinn Féin. Now, you can't always totally trust what he says, and one of the reasons for the collapse of the deal in December was some of the strong language that he used, that he sought the humiliation of Sinn Féin and the IRA. In effect, he was looking for the dread surrender word, which is something that isn't going to happen. So he bears a little bit of responsibility, even though he's nothing to do with the Northern Bank robbery or the McCartney murder. But he is still prepared to deal with Sinn Féin, but only on the condition that the IRA go away and that the end criminality and end paramilitarism and fully decommission. Now, in a sense, we were told that was effectively on offer in December. So the big challenge for the politicians and the parties is to try and, you know, is to retrace our steps to that period when, you know, there was a chance to get that done. But how, in the name of heaven, is to get the McCartney issue out of the way, to get them to get the Northern Bank issue out of the way, is a huge problem. And that problem rests solely with the IRA. And you're correct, just going back to your original question, they have to deliver, and they have to deliver substantially to open the door for politics to potentially start moving, maybe in the autumn.
1-800-423-8255 to Cambridge now, and Jim's on the line. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm fine. What do you think?
Yeah, my question is, now that the IRA has such diminished clout, I was wondering, is there going to be more of a unity, say, among the Protestants and Catholics, more working together, more distrust dissipating now, so that they can work like in the streets, one level beyond the political process, maybe the social interaction, is that going to change?
Jerry, I'm going to start with you on that, if you would help us.
Well, just there are two main unionist parties here, the Ulster Unionist Party and the DUP, two main nationalist parties, Sinn Féin and the SDLP. Neither of the unionist parties will work with Sinn Féin, obviously. They would work with the SDLP to try and isolate Sinn Féin. But
take it out of the political party sort of forum, though, if you would, Jerry, and just talk about neighbourhoods, people living in Northern Ireland, people in Belfast. Does the weakening or does the public criticism of the IRA make it any more likely that ordinary people will have more to say to each other? Or are there still lots of politicians who want to make sure that there are two distinct camps here?
Well, there are two distinct camps, and politics. You know, I take your point. What's happening on, you know, in the neighbourhoods, that isn't going to change. Isn't going to change substantially. But if a deal is to be done, it has to be done by the politicians.
Right.
And at the moment, the other main nationalist party, the SDLP, they will not walk away from Sinn Féin. They say, look, no matter what happens, if there's going to be a deal, it has to be an inclusive deal that involves Sinn Féin. Now, some people would. They've come under a lot of pressure and criticism for that, but I mean, I would think they're probably correct, because if they did move aside from Sinn Féin, they would be slaughtered in the any subsequent elections, because that would be seen as almost a treacherous act, and also just for the simple fact that Sinn Féin have they've more or less a quarter of the vote in Northern Ireland. They're a very very powerful political party. They can't be wished away. So you know your caller's question, like numerous parties and people will say, look, let's isolate Sinn Féin and let everybody else do the business. In theory, that, you know, works fine, but in practice, I think it just can't happen.
So, Kevin, when we talk about the politics and the people there, are the politicians and the political groupings still accurately reflecting the way that people feel, or are they reinforcing those divisions? Do you see the difference?
Yeah, no, I think there really is but I think what we're seeing here is the difference that's emerging between Sinn Féin and the IRA. And that Sinn Féin, like I said, and I think Jerry agrees with this, that Adams and McGuinness want political power. And they are realistic to know that as long as the IRA exists, they cannot maximize this power. And particularly when we're talking about the south of Ireland, when we're talking about the Republic of Ireland, I think that might be one of the disconnects here, that IRA commanders and people that have their various power, you know, their turf up there, they're not thinking about, you know, hey, can we win a seat in North Kildare? How can we do in Cork? They're not thinking like that. The Shinners are. They are thinking in constituent-based thought process of how do we maximize our vote. And so Sinn Féin is really, if anybody's going to benefit from the IRA going away, it's going to be Sinn Féin, and that's what's driving the politics now.
Well, that's the point. Is, I remember there's another former IRA leader called John Kelly. He was prominent in the early 70s. He's a bit alienated from Sinn Féin now. But he made a very, very simple point. The reason Sinn Féin has been so successful is because of the peace, not because of the war. Mm-hmm. And if there's any suggestion that the war, you know, could come back, or the IRA are acting still as they did prior to the ceasefire, that certainly will damage Sinn Féin in the south and perhaps put a halt to Sinn Féin in the north. Though I always have, there's always the health warning that their core support is strong and isn't going to be damaged no matter what the IRA does or did.
Part of the premise for the IRA holding on to its weapons, part of the premise for the continued existence of the IRA, Jerry, has to be their own belief that, as you used in the preface to your statement there, the war could come back. Is that something that's realistic? Is that possible?
I hope not, and I don't think the current IRA leadership has any interest in that happening. And when people talk about Sinn Féin breaking from the IRA, it would probably be preferable if they didn't break from the IRA, but if they both acted with some cohesion, mm-hmm. and that you go back to what potentially was on offer in December, that the IRA would continue to exist, but it would become sort of like an old soldiers organization, and they would have their annual meetings and whatever and commemorative events, but lead the politics to the politicians, to Gerry Adams and Martin McGuinness, so that you still have a sort of an organic Republican movement that involves the IRA and Sinn Féin, because the last thing we would want is a split in the IRA, because that would mean there would be a greater potential for a return to war, because there are a number of what are called, dissident Republican movements who have splintered as opposed to split from the IRA, like the Real IRA and Continuity IRA. They're very, very small organizations. But if there was to be a more major splintering, then you could have real danger. So there's a lot of little delicate games to be played here, and people, Sinn Féin and the IRA are under pressure, and that's where they deserve to be, because they created that pressure themselves. But equally, that in maintaining the pressure, it has to be pretty well judged that people don't, it is a crisis now, but that people don't make it 10 times worse by causing, an actual split in the IRA.
Let's go back to our callers, to Cambridge. Stephen's on the line. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I was wondering what changes have occurred over the past 10 years in the police force, the former RUC, that give them credibility in the eyes of the Republican community to make them a viable alternative as a source of justice?
Yeah, Kevin, it's a great question, and it's something that Charlie started for us on, that normally people would have turned to the IRA for some kind of justice in the circumstances here. And what's unusual is that the McCartney sisters have, in fact, turned to the police force. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that the police have changed?
Well, they've changed to some extent, and there's been more recruitment of Catholic police recruits. But the problem is, and this is another layer, as Jerry talks about, it's so complicated here, that, Sinn Féin is not on the policing board. So you're not seeing Republican kids getting involved in the police department. And we're really not going to have a representative police department until that happens. But that said, I think, one of the unstated things of what the McCartney sisters are saying is that, you can't change the process from without. You have to get inside to change it. But what they're saying is they absolutely believe that the police would handle this like a normal police investigation, and they would be able to charge the people involved and that sort of thing. I think there still is, even in a place like the Short Strand, I think everybody would have a story about somebody they knew or somebody in their family being beaten up or threatened at Castlereagh, the interrogation center, which just coincidentally was just taken down. But that said, I think things have changed. And we go back to what Nancy at the top of the program said. The people are ahead of the politicians here. When you have people in Republican areas saying we could trust the police on this one, maybe not everything, but on this one, that's a remarkable change. And the IRA has to listen to that.
I wonder, Jerry, if the police and the justice system recognizes the opportunity that the McCartney sisters are giving them to demonstrate a kind of even-handedness in handling this particular case as a way of establishing that credibility that Kevin's talking about.
Oh, they realize it full well, and they see an opportunity here. It was interesting, on the day of Robert McCartney's funeral, there were some police officers in the church at the funeral mass, but there was no Sinn Féin person of any seniority in there because they knew they weren't welcome. And in the Republican heartland, like the Short Strand, that is really remarkable. So policing is probably the key, I think, to the whole resolution of our long-standing process, because if you could get Sinn Féin to join the policing board, which holds the police accountable, then that would mean that the IRA, you know, no matter whether they were an old soldier's body or whatever, that would effectively mean the war is over, because it would mean police could go into tough, you know, Republican areas like South Armagh and into West Belfast and Tyrone and places like that, where the IRA writ has generally run, where they have held control, and actually, you know, let them do the policing, and rather than the IRA, has been the case sort of in places like the Short Strand for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So policing is crucial, but how to get there, we probably have to get a political solution first. And how to get a political solution means we have to get out of this current mess, and at the moment it's just difficult to see how it's going to happen. I just go back to my central point, it's just an objective point. It's up to the IRA to make a very substantial move to try and build trust, and even when they do that, it'll still take months before things will properly move.
And the irony here is, if the police had done their job at the end of the 60s in the north of Ireland, this wouldn't have happened. It probably would not have been something we called the Troubles. It probably would have been nipped in the bud, and that's the irony here. We're trying to get full circle here, back to a police department that is truly representative of the community it serves, that is impartial and fair-handed, because certainly they were not like that in the late 60s, which is the only reason the Provisional IRA was allowed to be created.
So if the peace process's most recent stall in December came about as a result of the IRA refusing to use the surrender word or to be humiliated by Paisley and company, does the situation that they face now provide them with any opportunity to kind of turn that page and use their own language to say, right, as Jerry's saying, enough is enough. We're going to have to say something substantial here. What do you
think,
Kevin?
Well, I think there is, and I think, you know, and Jerry's absolutely right about there's going to have to be something really dramatic from the IRA. And there was something over the weekend really interesting, in which the killers of Garda Jerry McCabe, a police officer in the south of Ireland, they actually issued a statement saying they were sorry for their actions. They said they didn't mean to kill him, which I think people will not accept. But just that sort of thing, that obviously there's a recognition at that level with the IRA.
And that kind of apology is unusual enough to
note
the difference.
Oh, yeah, they don't apologize for what they do. That's just not their style. But like I said, I think there is an acknowledgement within the IRA that they have to say the right words, but it's really going to come down to actions, as it always does in Ireland.
Kevin, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks.
Kevin Cullen, reporter for the Boston Globe. Jerry Moriarty, I want to thank you for your time as well.
Good to chat to you, Dick. Thank you.
Jerry's Northern editor for the Irish Times earlier in the program. A few words with Charlie Sennett, London Bureau Chief for the Boston Globe. Nancy Soderberg with the International Crisis Group. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.